live from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It's E-Town with this week's guests. From Connecticut, Stephen Kellogg, Ichiban Award winner Jamie Van Leeuwen, and from Austin, Texas, the Band of Heathens. I'm Helen Forster. Right now, join me in welcoming our host, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Man, oh man, we are back. We're back at E-Town Hall. We've got our usual mix of healthy, organic ingredients for the particular feast that is an E-Town show. We've got good songs, great stories. We've got a story of somebody who's helping where the help is needed. We've got a band. We got a solo artist. We've got all this stuff. Up first is a band that got together in Austin. Three independent songwriters each had their own career going. They shared a stage at a weekly gig, and they started to chime in on each other's songs, singing on the choruses and playing on the solos and stuff. Pretty soon they had a bass player. Pretty soon there was a drummer, and thanks to a misprint in the newspaper, they had a band name. And they were off and running. They actually got off to a great start. It wasn't long before they were voted best new band in Austin, which, if you know much about Austin, you know that that's hard to achieve in and of itself. The Americana artist, new artist of the year, and the slot on Austin City Limits, all that stuff came pretty quickly, and with good reason. More recently, they've just released a record that is another look at a classic Ray Charles kind of landmark record called A Message from the People. Came out in 1972. These guys decided to revisit that record, which is kind of a bold move, and it worked. So we're happy to hear some of that stuff. Please welcome, for their first visit to E-Town, the Band of Heathens.
Struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns his back away. And heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us.
The boy who won't reach 21. Heaven help the man who gave that child a gun. And heaven help the people with their backs against the wall. Heaven help us all. From the mighty and the mighty from the small. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us.
Heaven help us all.
What a place, what a show, what a venue, what an everything here, huh?
Of heathens. Gordy and Ed, welcome. And thanks, it's such a cool idea. Who came up with the project concept of just covering that entire Ray Charles record?
The idea started slowly as just falling in love with the record initially and then realizing it was really hard to find, that it wasn't on any of the streaming services. And
yeah,
we just were driving around one day talking about how great it was. And I was like, well, why don't we cover one song? And then it was just like, well, let's just do the whole thing and, yeah, and just see if it's cool.
Right.
And if it isn't, then it was a fun experiment.
Yeah. You know? And as I understand it, there's a bit of a sad or a bittersweet sort of launch to the project because it involved the studio a friend of yours had, and
Yeah, a good friend and mentor of ours, George Reef, passed away last year, and we've kind of taken over his recording studio, and it was in his home where he lived. It's kind of become our home base, trying to kind of keep what he created alive. And this is one of the first projects we started messing around in there since he passed, and it's definitely the first record we finished in that space.
So. And so once you dove in, once you started doing the songs, you realized, I mean, it is a bold move for anybody to say, oh yeah, I have a great idea, let me cover a Ray Charles record. It's sort of like it's a big step, but it worked. And did you ever feel like somewhere along the way, it's like, wow, we've really gotten ourselves into something we can't get out of? Or
I think before we started recording, and like Gordy said, we had the luxury of not really feeling the pressure of, you know, going into a studio and kind of being committed to these, whatever, you know, the fixed expenses of being in the studio and the clock running. So we had a nice relaxed atmosphere. And within that, I think, you know, all the thinking and sort of like pre-preparation that you do before you even start producing or working on your record, all the mental gymnastics that you play. I think once we got in and started actually making music, you know, the first day went great, and we did a couple songs. We're like, that was really good. And then the next day, the same thing. And then by like the third day, it's like, okay, you know, I think we're going to get something cool here.
Yeah.
You know, so I think once we kind of just got away from it a little bit, it started happening.
It is an unusual collection of songs on that record. I mean, you know, really, it's covering some, you know, all the way from Abraham Martin and John to John Denver's Country Roads. There's some wacky stuff on there.
Yeah, you know, the most intimidating one we saved for last. Actually, we were scared to record it because it's his definitive aversion of America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it was, like Ed said, it was very low pressure. Yeah. We're just like, hey, let's just see what happens.
Did Quincy Jones produce that record originally, Ray Charles' record?
I think he's listed as one of the producers on the record.
Has he been aware of, made aware of your project?
He heard the record and gave us a really nice quote about it, and then
that's wild.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's pretty pretty crazy. Very generous of him. And then very strangely, like a month later, we were in Switzerland playing the Montreux Jazz Festival, and we ran into him at an after party and got to hang out with him for like a half hour. It was pretty mind blowing. Very cool to talk to him about the record.
Wild.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. It's a beautiful community that you're part of, and it's just great. It's great to get to hang out with you guys. Great to hear you. Congratulations on the Ray Charles record. Again, as I say, a bold move, and you pulled it off.
Thanks.
So,
thanks, Nick.
Let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, Band of Heathens.
Thank you all so very much. Good to be here at E-Town with you this evening. We're very grateful to be here. It's a good space to talk about some things with some fine-minded people. Because you know there's a lot of things we need to talk about. Yeah. Got a few of them wanna talk about. Yeah. Wanna talk about. Said it go to something like this. Wanna, hey, mister, you better listen. Oh, mister, you better listen. You see the mama got a wife. Get a job when there just ain't none. Hey, legislation, if you can fix the nation, why don't you open up your heart and listen to this part? A little child asked for bread with tears in his eyes. Mama said we ain't got none, and then they both cried. Don't you hear them? You're doing to the poor man, Lord knows you ought to quit it. Oh, how can he love you? Tell me, how can he smile when back at home he's got a hungry little child? Hey, legislation, why don't you try a new route? Just listen to the people and hear what they're talking about. Well, the poor people know that they can't impeach you. They're just hoping that their crowds will reach you. Won't you hear them? Won't you hear them? Please don't listen to what understand. You know that rich or poor, well, a man's still a man. Hey, legislation, when you start to fix the nation, take a real good look at the present administration and then stand up. Wave it goodbye. Try to find someone who can hear the people cry. Trying to talk to you. Well, you know we need help and we ain't gonna wait. Oh, no, you talk, get to doing before it's too late. You see, the foreign aid is well and good. You gotta put some of that money back in your neighborhood. Yeah, we're tired of living right down here in the mud and cleaning out all our sons and daughters' blood.
Trevor Nealon, Richie Millsap, and Jesse Wilson. The record is called A Message from the People, revisited, a tribute to Ray Charles from Austin, Texas. The Band of Heathens will be back later on to play some more music.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You are listening to E-Town, and here in the sacred chapel of the solar power. It was pretty cool. I mean, it's great message, great songs, great sentiment, revisiting 1972, thanks to the Band of Heathens. Those guys will be back, play some more music later on. And coming up, the Connecticut-based singer-songwriter, road dog, and family man, Mr. Stephen Kellogg, is here. He'll be out soon. Before we bring him out, though, every week we get to meet and hang out with somebody that was doing something so cool and so inspiring to one of our listeners that they actually reached out to us to share that story, and so we can pass it on to you guys. It's a simple story, usually, of somebody who just looks around, sees an opportunity to make a difference, sees a problem that they can maybe help fix, and it usually grows into something much bigger, and so we think those things are inspiring. We love sharing them. It's the Achievement Award, and here comes Helen Forster to tell you more about this week's winner.
Thank you, Nick. Listener nominator Becky Morris told us about this week's story, As a kid in Denver, Jamie Van Leeuwen grew up with a mama who was a first grade teacher and a dad who was a school social worker. So the idea of serving the greater good was not exactly foreign to him. Originally, Jamie had dreams of becoming a surgeon, but eventually shifted his college major toward public health. While getting his master's at Tulane University in New Orleans, he began to focus on AIDS, drug addiction, and poverty there. Now, a few years later, back in Denver, Colorado's governor appointed him to lead a 10-year plan to fight homelessness. Eventually, Jamie won something called the Livingston Fellowship that came with a small cash prize. He used the money to travel overseas, and in his last stop, Uganda, he visited slums, connected with former child soldiers, and also saw the impact of the AIDS epidemic. Now, he was ready to just dive in and lend a hand when the locals told him to slow down and learn what was wanted and needed from the people themselves before trying to help. Taking the time to listen resulted in Jamie founding a nonprofit effort that's created several health initiatives, including a music festival series to bring people together, then providing AIDS testing, health education, and more. Now, Jamie will fill us in, so please welcome this week's Achievement Award winner, Jamie Van Leeuwen.
Jamie, welcome.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So you knew from an early age that you were going to give back in some way. New Orleans must have been a really interesting place for you to start tossing around these different ingredients, thinking about how you were going to use your passion and your skills and your interests on behalf of a community.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in a community where it was the first time that I saw the impacts of inequity. I was a child of privilege. I had parents who took care of me and made sure I had everything I needed. At the same time, you're in this community that has all these wonderful cultural values, and at the same time, it's dealing with an enormous amount of poverty.
Yeah. So if we were to fast forward years later, you're in Uganda, maybe you can just sort of describe the scene and what you discovered when you first went there.
There's this message in the Western culture that we inculcate in our students and our young people. We say, hey, don't just stand there, do something. And when I got to Africa, Africa said, hey, don't just do something, but stand there and listen to the community and listen to what they're saying before you try to fix something.
Wild and sage, because you think about all the, you know, the aid dollars that get either siphoned off or mishandled in one way or another, you know, the support can easily go awry.
Yeah, I think it's just important for us to, you know, the mission of the Global Livingston Institute evolved into listen, think, and act. And those first two parts are really important before you move to the action phase.
Did you have a focus? Was it like agriculture or economics or healthcare or education? Or, you know, what were you focused on mostly?
Yeah, our focus was really on two things. One was education. How do we change the way that young people in the United States are thinking about Africa? And how do we change those stereotypes and those ideas of what we go and we find out when we get to Africa? And then the second part of it is, well, how do we put people back to work in Africa? How do you create jobs? That if you create meaningful jobs and you provide workforce development training and you put people back to work, they don't need you to build them a school. They don't need you to build them a health a center. They can figure those things out on their own.
Right.
People want to be empowered to be able to make their own decisions. And how do you create that space for them to do that?
That's cool. And when did the wild idea of putting on music festivals dovetail into this ambitious effort?
So we go over there and we're going to have this music festival. And the public health workers came and said, hey, as long as you're going to bring all these folks together and you're going to have a free concert, would it be okay if we actually provided some HIV testing and some public health services and some reproductive health services? And we said, absolutely. So they showed up and I was like, who's going to test for HIV at a concert? Why would you possibly do that? It's a free concert. People can come. So the first night, I wasn't even sure that we'd have 4,000 people show up for the concert. And I was right. We didn't have 4,000 people show up for this concert. We had 5,000 people show up for the concert.
Wow.
And in the first hour, we ran out of HIV tests. We tested more people for HIV that day in 1 hour than they tested in the entire year that year. We tested 847 people for HIV. And the reason it worked was because the community drove it. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't somebody from the United States coming and saying we should do this. It was a community saying, hey, if we could use music as a platform, we could actually reach this community in ways that we've never
been able to before.
And what was really interesting is we created a space for 4,000 people the first year. This past year, we had 22,000 people come to that show. And so it's a very cool thing. Yeah, we should, not me, but Uganda. That's a cool thing.
Yeah. And so I assume they stocked up on AIDS kits for the bigger crowds.
Yes.
Cool. and over 26,000 people have tested for HIV, and over 1,000 women have been screened for cervical cancer. And so we're connecting people with basic healthcare services, but at the same time, we're doing it in a really human way, mm-hmm. that these people who are showing up have never been invited to be part of a concert in their entire lives. They've never been able to come to an E-Town show. They've never been able to be part of something. When you create a seat at the table, in the same way that you guys do with E-Town, some really amazing things happen.
Yeah, that's cool, Jamie. I want to ask you just a practical thing. So here I am. I'm a person who goes to this concert. I take an AIDS screening test, and it comes back positive. What happens?
100% of the people who have tested positive for HIV, 100% of the people who are screened positive for cervical cancer are immediately connected with the service providers who actually live and work there, so that those people are actually getting access to those services immediately and are not waiting to see if we're going to show up again or if we're going to come back again, that we have a sustainable, really thoughtful approach to the way that we're doing community development. And we're really proud of that.
Yeah, that's so amazing. It sounds great, Jamie. You're doing a great job, and congratulations on your success. I want to just check the website. Is it Global Livingston?
www.globallivingstonwithoutane.org. And please check us out, and any ways that we can connect you or community to what we're doing in East Africa, we're excited about it. So
there's photos and videos and the schedule for your upcoming concerts and all that stuff.
Great video clips. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and we're just honored to be here tonight. We think what E-Town is doing is amazing, and we're excited to be a small part of that.
Jamie, thanks so much, and congratulations. This week's winner of the Achievement Award, Jamie Van Leeuwen.
Thank you.
Founder of the Global Livingston Institute, doing great work in Africa, building community for music, healthcare, education. Congratulations, Jamie.
Thanks to our listener nominator, Becky Morris, for this great story. For more information on Jamie and the Global Living Institute, you can go to globallivingston.com. Or .org, rather, I should say. Or you can visit our website, etown.org. We'll have that information there, too. And you can also nominate someone there for the award. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. If you have a moment, you can always take a short survey that's on our website, and it'll help us make sure we're doing all we can to make the show as good as possible for you. We're on Facebook and Twitter, too, if you want to reach us. Or you can always write us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Very cool story. Thank you. Congratulations, Jamie. Thank you, Helen. As I mentioned, we've got more music coming up later on from the Band of Heathens. Right now, I'll tell you about our next guest. There is more to Stephen Kellogg than you might imagine. Yes, he's a singer-songwriter who got his start in and around Northampton, Massachusetts, and that kind of tells you a fair amount. But he's been prolific and successful, and he's got lots of friends in and out of the songwriter community. He's been a band leader with his band, The Sixers, for many years. He's a solo touring road dog with an unrelenting schedule. And he's the subject of a new film on Amazon called The Last Man Standing, a short film that's just a really good, insightful look into the life of an artist and a guy who's traveling around a lot. He has traveled around the world in the past to sing for our troops in various countries, because that's something he cares a lot about. He's married to his high school sweetheart. He's got four daughters. He's a committed and excellent family man. And I just think that he's been a guy who really knows what it takes to be a creative person and to keep that going and still be practical and live in the world. So we're always happy when we get to hang out with him. So we're happy he's here. Please welcome back to E-Town, Stephen Kellogg.
I get choked up pretty easy these days, and that was moving. Thank you for the nice introduction, Nick. I'd like to introduce you guys now. We invited Nick and Helen and the E-Town band to join us on this first song. So we're going to start off as a gang and then kick you guys out of the band, and then we'll put the band back together.
Check one, two, check.
One, two, one. All right. We'll drink enough alcohol to raise these kids, warts and all. There wasn't enough alcohol to quench my parents' thirst. And if I end up just like them, that's okay, ain't no sin. Where you going, where you been? It's mostly the same place. I got all I ever wanted, but I still cannot believe how I love to take for granted all the love that comes to me. We got enough words to write, books to read, fights to fight. There ain't enough thoughts and prayers to say she ate my rage. And maybe we are just as bad as our worst enemies have said. Or maybe we are just ourselves and having an off day. I got all I ever wanted, but still cannot believe how I love to take for granted all the love that comes to me. All the love that comes to me. All the love that comes to me. I dig the evening buzz, I hate the morning drag. I dig the evening buzz, and I don't sleep nearly enough, but I'm still happy because
thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We'll let you know.
Remember when we got high behind the house by the garage so the kids would not find out? The cat's on Prozac and no one seems to care. The part is packed, but you feel like no one's there. You were born with everything you need. So wear that heart of yours on both your sleeves. A mother's holding her baby on the plane. The kid is crying, a businessman complains. You hear the whispers and see the eye rolls too. I guess we all got some growing up to do. You were born with everything you need. So wear that heart of yours on both your sleeves. They'll get the best and the worst of you. There'll be some days that you can't get through, but please wear that heart of yours on both your sleeves. You give your heart to someone because it's yours to give. And only when they break it do you realize what you did. There is a sword that's hanging right above all our heads. It is suspended, it is suspended, it is suspended by a spider web. Check your phone every minute for an hour. Irish goodbye, the greatest superpower. You were born with everything you need. So wear that heart of yours on both your sleeves. You have have got the best and worst of me. So wear that heart of yours on both your sleeves, both your sleeves, both your sleeves, both your sleeves.
Thank you.
Stephen Kellogg, welcome back to E-Town. Good to see you. I have to say that after seeing that short film about you, Last Man Standing, I have a new appreciation for what it means for you to be away from home. It's a big deal.
Yeah, like everybody, I adore my family, and if you're going to be away from them, you want to be doing something useful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Those of us who have done that, who've been touring musicians with families and kids, toured for years, I can say that all of us are humbled by your particular efforts because you do it really well. As I understand, and I could be wrong, but how often do you send postcards to all four of your daughters?
Enough so that my wife is like, are you sure? Do you need to send them every time? Because we're, you know, our house isn't that big. But I figure when they're in therapy, when they're older, they'll have shoeboxes of proof that I was making an effort, you know? So
exactly. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, which is it's putting the rest of us to shame who did not do that. But the reality is it's a balancing act and there's lots of uncertainties. I want to mention that your studio record, Southwest Northeast, you recorded kind of four styles in four different places, Nashville, Boulder, Woodstock, and D.C., is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Tell me about why those places and what each one of those places sounded like.
Well, I just wanted to make a record with a lot of different musicians and find some different ways to do it. And so I kind of did my folk rock thing, and then I did my southern rock thing down south and my kind of pop thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying all the different genres that I operate in, it kind of got it out of my system. And then when we got to this new record, Objects in the Mirror, I felt like I'd gotten all that needing to be different things out of my system, and I had a real sense, more than I ever have as an artist, of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, so. You settled in with a group of guys in a studio and you made a record in 4 days.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah. They were good musicians. Yeah. So, I mean, we were just hanging on for dear life in there, yeah. but they were beautiful musicians, yeah. And I brought my kids to the studio, and I said, like, this is why we're doing this. Like, I need this to work, you know? I mean, it was a Hail Mary of a record and caught the pass.
And there's a book percolating.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's a book that's supposed to be out now, but it turns out, Nick, that writing a book is harder than I thought.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a journey, right? It's all about the process. You're a guy, as you've explained, who these creative impulses come and you gotta let them out.
Yeah. And with the book, I did take a lot of pre-orders for it, so it'll be here in the spring. Like, it's, well, by hook or by crook, it's coming out. So,
all right.
You know, yeah.
I mentioned that you had an appreciation for and a desire to play music for our troops in different countries. What happens when you show up and you get some, you know, military transport and you wind up somewhere on a base or on a aircraft carrier or something? What happens next?
You're there to say thanks more than anything, because most of those folks don't necessarily listen to my music or know who I am. But I'm there because I wouldn't have made a good soldier, but I'm very grateful that we have a military that mostly does good. You know, that mostly we at least have an idea, and hopefully this idea will sustain, that we can do good things in the world, you know? And so when I go over there, I see a lot of people who maybe didn't have another option, and they decided to be in the military, and they're giving up their time. You know, they're away from their families for much more than we are as musicians. So I'm just there to say, thank you so much for your service.
Right. And it's cool thinking about what our award winner, Jamie, was talking about, just the power of music in kind of changing the channel. You know, you just bring people together. It's a different experience when there's music involved and there's a bunch of people, and it does create a connection across boundaries and borders. And I imagine that's what happens there too.
Absolutely. We always come back with full hearts, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, I again have a deep appreciation for what it takes for you to be a road dog as you are. And it's great to keep in touch. And thanks for sharing your music with us. And we're going to get back to more of it now.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Welcome back. Stephen Kellogg.
Thank you all so very much for being such a beautiful audience. We're going to invite, we rehired the band.
I'm gonna choose sunlight, gonna be kind. I'm bound to win a few fights before my time. Gonna make love now, ain't the future bright? I'm gonna be the last man that's standing tonight. I'm gonna be last man, gonna be the last man, gonna be the last man standing tonight.
Kellogg, along with Eric Donnelly. The latest is called Objects in the Mirror, along with E-Tone's Chris Engelman, Ron Jolly, Christian Thiel, and Helen Forrester. Stephen Kellogg will be back at the end of the show.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. and by our diverse family of NPR affiliates and community stations, plus college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. Thank you for your continued support. By the way, if you missed some of this week's show, the E-Town podcast will have this episode and others, along with tons of content from the E-Town archives. It's available for free in iTunes, Spotify, and other podcast directories. And you're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. I want to say hello to folks who are listening on stations like KXT 91.7, the Republic of Music in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for tuning in. On WDST, Woodstock, New York, my old neighborhood. And on KTHX 101.1, The X in Reno, Nevada. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you want more information about any of our guests, you want to see exactly what Stephen Kellogg's monogrammed smoking jacket looks like, all that stuff is online. There's photos and videos. You can find out how to buy a ticket to a show and much more. So that's at etown.org. Okay, so far I think my prediction about the good ingredients to make the particular E-Town stew was correct. We've got some great pieces and parts this week. The connection to 1972 and Ray Charles that the Band of Heathens made where their cover was timely and poignant and cool. We're going to revisit that classic record in our finale choice. But before that, welcome back to the stage, if you would, Band of Heathens.
Now I feel like I've been
That's the band of heathens, Gordy Quist, Ed Jurdy on guitars and vocals, Trevor Nealon on the keys and vocals, Richie Millsap on the drums, Jesse Wilson on the bass. The record is called A Message from the People Revisited. We're going to do one more song, get everybody out on stage. This is going to be fun. We've never done a Melanie cover before. We first played this song just a few hours ago. We just kind of figured it out, so hopefully we all remember it. I want to thank all our guests, of course. Thanks to Stephen Kella for coming out, spending a time, a day away from home. Thanks to our award winner, Jamie Van Leeuwen, using music concerts and festivals in Africa to bring health care and more to thousands. Thanks to the Band of Heathens. Thanks to Helen Forster and the E-Tones. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can join us next week right here in E-Town.
Look what they've done to my song. Look what they've done to my song. The only thing I could do half right is turning out wrong. Look what they've done to my song. Look what they've done to my brain. Chicken bone, I think I'm insane. I said, look what they've done to my brain.
I wish I could find a good book, you know, one that I could live in. Wish I could find a good book. Well, if I could just find
E-Town's recorded at E-Town Hall and produced by our donor-supported nonprofit organization. To comment about the show, send us an email at info@etown.org or reach us on Twitter or Facebook. Distribution of E-Town is made possible by our family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Ils ont changé ma chanson. C'est vrai. Ils ont changé ma chanson. Qu'est-ce qui se passe, hein? C'est la seule chose que je peux faire. Et maintenant, c'est pas bon. Je sais pas pourquoi, mais ils ont changé ma chanson.
Maybe it'll all be alright, Mom. Maybe it'll all be okay. Well, if the people are buying
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.